All right, well, good morning and Happy New Year to all of you today. It's good to see you. This is the late service. You guys all rested up? Yeah? All right, I get it. Well, we're so glad that you chose to come and join us today as we kick off the new year, worshiping and praising and just learning more about Jesus and God and what he has for us. So I'm excited that you're here kicking off this new year with us. We already had a powerful first service, and so I'm thankful to be able to do it again and worship and praise with my church family on January 1st, 2023, y'all. That's crazy, right? Woo! It's going to be a good year, right? God's going to do some amazing things. Well, we're still in our Echo series. We took a couple weeks break for Christmas, and then we had a week off, but we're still continuing this series, at least for another week. But because we're still in the series and we had a few weeks off, I wanted to do a quick recap of just some of the things we've talked about, because there has been a lot. And then if you've, you know, only joined us for a few times, or maybe you came for Christmas and didn't really get any of that, kind of just wanted to bring everyone up to speed before I dive into what today's message is going to be about. So when we kick this whole thing off, we talked about a posture of prayer and what that looks like and what our posture should be when we're going to prayer. And really, I used two words that were key to our posture when we enter into prayer, and that is surrender in submission, surrender and submission to God, to his will, to his sovereignty, and just an understanding of, like, he is the God of the universe, right? The all-knowing, all-powerful, all, you know, he is the creator and sustainer, author of life. And so just understanding that, like, when we go to talk to him, like, our posture better reflect who he is and who we are. So there's this humility that comes into place where we see it throughout the Bible where we're, you know, they're on their knees or they're prone and they're face down just in the presence of the Almighty Father. And so our posture is so important, just surrendering in that submission to God, to his will, to his ways. Of course, we're going to go to God and we're going to seek him in prayer. But ultimately, what we're desiring is for God to be glorified. And so there is the submission and surrender that comes when we are going to him in prayers. It's not about our will, our wants, our desires, but surrendering to what he wants and what he wills. So we kick this whole thing off talking about that, how important that is. And then as we wrapped up that day, we talked about having personal prayer patterns in our lives. And kind of just, I gave the question, do you have personal prayer patterns? Are you praying every single day? What does that look like? Are you making sure that you're prioritizing these things? And then I kind of went into, like, setting these things up and making sure that you're working in these personal prayer patterns every single day. Then we moved into the next week, and I talked about the importance of your pace and having a place. Really, it's prioritizing your time to pray, to communicate with God, and then having a place. And it doesn't need to be one specific place, but really just designated places where you know you can go and you can spend uninterrupted time with God. Now, when I shared this message, I shared a specific story about a guy in the Bible who prayed three times a day and got in trouble for it. Does anyone remember who I talked about? Daniel, that's right. It was Daniel. And if you remember that story, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for specifically praying, because prayer was the only thing that they could hold against him. They knew that he would pray to his God. And so we just talked about how Daniel had a pace and had a place for prayer. He was a busy man. He was in charge of a lot of things. He was very respected. And even though he had a lot going on, he still spent time praying to God. And then we talked about how this is something that Jesus modeled for us. You know, all throughout the Gospels of Jesus' life, we see him, you know, frequently withdrawing to pray in a quiet or deserted place. And so he was taking time, whether early in the morning, late at night, or after he ministered to a lot of people, to go and pray, to be in communication with his Father. And just one more reminder to us, an example to us, if we're going to be Jesus followers, that prayer should be a priority in our life, and we should have a pace and a place for it. A few weeks later, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. I had a few guest speakers, they came in, and then I came in with the Lord's Prayer. And this is a very important prayer, and from this prayer, I gave five roots of prayer. Let me share the Lord's Prayer with you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So this is the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've spoken it. Maybe you've prayed it. And we talked about just what this prayer really set up. Like, this isn't the prayer that we pray all the time. We can. But really what Jesus was doing when he gave us this prayer was saying, hey, When you pray, think about these things. And so we got five roots of prayer, and here they are. Recognize his sovereignty and goodness. We kind of talked about that. As we enter into prayer, we want to recognize who he is and his goodness. Number two, we relinquish control to his will. There's that surrender and that submission again. Three, we request his provision for today. You know, give us today our daily bread. Request what we need for today. Number four, we receive forgiveness from him, and we also offer forgiveness to others. And then lastly, number five, we remember that he has given us his spiritual protection, and that goes into just delivering us, leading us not into temptation and from the evil one. And so there's these five roots of every prayer. As we go into our prayers, we should be thinking through these things and praying them out as well. Then after that week, I shared with you the let us prayers. And these let us prayers came from Hebrews 12 and 13. And they're just these commands that were prayers that I believe if we go into our prayers with these six things, man, it'll help keep us grounded in God's will in our prayers and seeing him be glorified. So these are the six. First and foremost, let us draw near. Again, a lot of these go back as we draw near to God, remembering who God is, that we have been given access to God, freely given access to God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so just let us draw near. And as we draw near, remember that we're able to draw near to the Almighty God. Let us hold on to hope. So in our lives, as we're going through things, dealing with things, difficulties, maybe unanswered prayer, whatever it may be, we hold on to the hope that we have found in Jesus, that he is a redeemer, that he reconciles, that he is a resurrection God. And so we just hold on to that hope in whatever circumstance we're going through. Let us be concerned for others. As we're going through our prayers, we want to make sure that we are praying for others and lifting them up and interceding for them. And then in verse 12, it talked about letting us set aside our burdens. There are many things in this life that'll weigh us down, that'll distract us and try to keep us focused off of God. And so whatever those things are, as we enter into prayer, we just set those burdens at his feet. And we give them to him and we say, I can't overcome these things, but you can because you're the great overcomer. We set that aside and then we run. Let us run. And we run where? We run towards Jesus to be more like him. To love more like him, to pray more like him, to speak more like him. We just run to him. We want to be more like him. So in our prayers, man, that should be one thing that we're saying. Jesus, I just want to be more like you. Help me to do that. And then finally, let us offer praise. And that's just praising God for his goodness. Praising God for all he's done. Praising God that we have breath. And so there's a lot. There's been a lot. If you missed any of that, if you'd love to go back and to listen to those, you can do that. You can go on our website and watch or listen to our YouTube channel as well. And I would encourage you to do so just as a refresher. Okay, so that brings us up to speed to today. Now, when I opened this series, I shared dozens of scriptures just about prayer and the importance of prayer. And really, in all the scriptures that I shared, it was kind of the same thing. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. But there was one word that showed up more than any other word, and it was this word, persistent. Be persistent in your prayers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, in Acts 12:5, Romans 12:2, Colossians 4:2, James 5:16, every single one of these verses had that word, persistent. That we are to persist in our prayers, no matter what's going on. One of the verses that I shared was from Luke 18:1 in the very beginning of the series. And this was a part of a parable that Jesus was teaching to his disciples. And this is called the parable of the persistent widow. So I wanted to share that today, and then we'll unpack it. So we'll be in Luke 18, chapter 18, verses 1 all the way through 8. You can pull out your Bible, your phone, or you can follow along on the screens. Here's how it goes. This is Jesus talking. He then told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not become discouraged. Big part of this whole thing. It's all about prayer and not being discouraged. Verse 2, there was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect man, and a widow in that town that kept coming to him saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while, he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect man, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming." Then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay to help them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find that faith on earth? Now I want to pray before we unpack this. Would you pray with me? God, right now we come before you humble and thankful. Thankful for your word and that the word became flesh in Jesus. And so through your scriptures and through your son, today we have a lesson to be learned about prayer and always praying and not becoming discouraged. So God, right now, I just pray that your spirit would speak, that your scriptures would speak, that I would be your vessel and you would speak through me, and that it would fall on open hearts and open minds. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So we'll get into that in just a minute. Now, as we're talking about prayer, thinking about a new year, my new year prayer for me and for you and for our church family is that we would be persistent in our prayers. And we started this series, we've been going through this series, and we've been talking about prayer and keeping prayer at the forefront. It's been a priority, but I don't want it to be something where we end the Echo series and then we just move through life and prayer isn't a priority anymore. So my prayer is that in my life, prayer would continue to be a priority. In your life, prayer would continue to be a priority. We'd be persistent in it. And then in our church's life, that we would be persistent in our prayers. But my prayer is also that as we are persistent in our prayers, we would also be specific in our prayers. Not just broad prayers or general prayers, but that we would get down into the specifics, that we would share the specifics of our life, of our wants, of our desires, of our needs with God, that we would share the specifics with others as well and be persistent in those things. And really my prayer is an echo of Jesus' teaching. And he simply says, pray always and don't be discouraged. Pray always and don't be discouraged. So I'm going to change it just a little bit for my message. It would be this: pray all year and don't be discouraged. And why would we become discouraged? Well, maybe because we've been praying something for a very long time and it hasn't been answered yet. Or maybe we were praying that something would happen and it didn't happen, and there's discouragement in there. And so because that one prayer wasn't answered, we've given up on prayer altogether. And so it just says right here, and it's such a great reminder, as we pray always and don't be discouraged. And then pray again. And as you pray, don't be discouraged. Now, let's do this. Think back through last year, 2022. Think about all that took place, all that went on, all that you went through. What were your prayers last year? The big prayers, the small prayers, the relational prayers, the financial prayers. Maybe it was your purpose or direction in life prayers. Or maybe it was just that there was change or transition was coming and you were praying about these things. Now think about them. Really call them to mind. Now, the question becomes, were they answered? And maybe you could say, yeah, some of them were. And I'm so thankful that they were. And God has done miraculous things because of those answered prayers. But maybe there were some that weren't prayed. Weren't prayed that weren't answered. Sorry, that was a weird thing. I don't know what happened. If they weren't answered, I wonder, have you continued to pray? And even if they wouldn't be answered today or tomorrow, or next month, or even throughout this year, will you continue to pray and to wait for God's answer on that? Now, just as I think about that question, I call to mind Chris Hanna's sermon that he gave a few weeks ago. And the title of his sermon was just Hope and Unanswered Prayer. And if you didn't get to hear his testimony, I encourage you, go back and listen to it. It's just such a powerful story of God's providence, of God's timing, of a couple who desired to be parents, to have a family, and it didn't happen when they thought it was supposed to happen, and they had almost given up, but it was almost a 18, 19-year prayer that was then answered, and God was preparing them in those moments, in those years, for what he had in mind for them 19 years later, and it's one of those things that I'm sure if you talked to Tracy and Chris, they could have never imagined that this would happen, but now, today, they're a family of four with two little ones, and God answered, and there's just this hope in the unanswered prayer. There's hope in the waiting, and that you just think about what Jesus, pray always and don't be discouraged, and it happened. You know, in his commentary, Pastor Warren Wiersbe, he says this: God's delays are not delays of inactivity, but of preparation. God is always answering prayer. It's just preparation. Maybe he has to prepare you, your heart, your mind. Maybe he has to prepare your spouse, your significant other, your child. Maybe he's preparing other people. Maybe he's preparing and orchestrating different things in order to see that prayer answered. But he's not inactive. It's not that he doesn't hear you. It's not that he's not listening. He is always answering prayer. And so if he's always answering prayer, then that means for you and I, we must always ask and continue to go to him and call out to him and petition of him. Now, going back to the story, you know, we aren't told specifics of the time frame that took place. So we know that the widow came and there was a judge and he didn't care about God or man, and this widow was persistent. And all we really know of the time frame, it just says for a while, the widow was persistent. And so that, we don't know that, you know, just all of the culture in that day, and that could be maybe one day. Maybe it was all day long she berated him, right? And stood outside the tent where he was meeting and was just like, let me come in there, right? And so it was all day long, and finally, you know, midnight came, and she's like, she's still here? Fine, let's do this, right? Or maybe it was they met on Mondays, and every Monday she showed up. She was the first one there. She was the last one to leave. Wasn't relenting. And that went on for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Man, we don't know. Maybe it lasted for an entire year. But what we do know for certain is that she was persistent in bringing her request to the judge until what? Until he relented, until he answered. And there's something to learn here about that. And as I was thinking about this story, one of the cartoon movies that came to mind was Horton Hears a Who. You guys know the movie? Seen the movie? Good. If you haven't, sorry. Spoiler alerts. You should see it already. But so in Horton Hears a Who, there's this elephant, and he finds a speck, and it's on a flower, and he's trying to protect it the whole time, and there are people that don't believe him because no one else can hear him, blah, blah, blah. We get to the end of the story, and like it comes to the apex, right? They have caught him. They've cornered him. They're putting him in a cage, and they're ready to throw the flower and the speck in the burning cauldron, right? They're going to be done with this thing. There's nothing here. Let's put an end to it. And Horton, the whole time, is calling down to the Who saying, hey, they can't hear you. Get everyone in the town to speak up. And they just over and over say, we are here, we are here, we are here. We are here, we are here. And they just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And until at one point, it's like, okay, it's about to happen. And then the mayor's son, he goes to his thing and he shouts out and it finally goes through and there's this breakthrough that happens. And then everyone else can hear it. And so that's the persistence that I see here. Like, it's just, we're gonna keep on praying. We're gonna keep on lifting this thing up. We're gonna keep on petitioning because we wanna be heard. And so that's what I love. So what I'd say to you is, man, ask God. Ask God for what you want to see to come to pass for you and for others. And if a prayer isn't that you prayed on January 1st isn't answered on February 1st or July 1st or November 1st, if it's not answered, just keep praying. And keep hoping. Now, here's what I want to say. This is a really important thing to note about this parable, because it is a parable. And it's talking about a judge and a widow, and it's talking about prayer. But sometimes people get it confused about what God's role is in this story and what our role is in this story. And so, just like God is not like the kangaroo in the story, right? God's not like the kangaroo. God's not like Vlad the vulture, right, if you know the story. God's not like the Wickersham brothers, the trio of monkeys. You know, that we're trying to stop him. God is not like any of them, and God is also not like this judge that we learn about in the story. He's not annoyed when you come to him. He's not bothered. He's not blind to or unmoved by your request that you bring to him. God will hear us, God does hear us, and God will answer us, but it's faith, our hope in him, in his goodness, in his glory, in his will, in his timing that we have to hold on to, trusting that he hears us and trusting that he will answer us. And so if God's not like the judge, guess what that means for you and I? We are also not treated like the widow was in this story. Now, there's a lot of culture and context that you have to dive into, and I just don't have a lot of time to kind of unpack all that, but short thing is a widow and a woman in that time would not be really get access to a judge. And if you're going through and you read this, they'd have to bribe somebody or they'd have to know somebody just to get into the presence of the judge to even ask him anything. And so she has no access. But for you and I, we have more access. We have more respect. We are more loved. We have more grace. We have more forgiveness from our Almighty Father than this judge had for this widow. And so the relationship between the judge and the widow, this is a contrast, not a comparison to our relationship with God. And I think that's very, very important to understand as you read through this story. God is not like that judge. You go all the way back and you go up to, and you read the final line, 7 and 8. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him? Will he delay to help them? I tell you, he will swiftly grant them justice. Justice. And that's the God. He is not like the judge. He's so much more loving and he's so much more kind. And one of the things that we have to remember is that our petitions, they're not brought before a court of law. No, they're brought before the throne of grace. And God is a God of grace, and God is a God of forgiveness, and God is a God of love. He hears us, he loves us, and he's for us. Now the judge just wished the widow would stop. He just wanted her to be done. Stop persisting, stop pestering, stop all that. But God desires for us to come. God desires to hear us. God desires to be in communication with us. All throughout this series, I've talked about the importance of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, what he did is he tore the veil. And the importance here really, and maybe there's not as big of an impact on us, but if you're an Israelite, if you're a Hebrew of that time, when that veil was torn, that meant so much because that now meant that they had direct access to the Father. And this is communication. And so Jesus came and he gave us direct access to God. And we have that access through the Holy Spirit. And if God would go through all of this just to reconcile us back to him so that we can talk to him, I'm guessing it's pretty important that we talk to him all the time. And we bring our prayers and we bring our requests to him. He wants to hear from us, no matter what it is. And he wants to continue to hear from us. He wants us to cry out to him day and night because he loves us. And we know that because of what Jesus did. But all throughout Scripture, we see that this is what God is doing. He's wanting to bring us back into a relationship, and relationship is about communication. In Psalm 66, verses 19 and 20, it says, God has listened. He's paid attention to the sound of my prayer. May God be praised. He has not turned away my prayer or turned his faithful love from me. What a powerful promise that is. Especially if you've been praying something for a long time and you thought maybe God just wasn't listening or that God wasn't going to answer, man, let this be a reminder that he hears you, that he loves you, that he's for you, that he is faithful. So what's this mean? It means that we persistently pray. And as we pray, that we don't become discouraged, but we hold on to our faith in God's goodness, our faith in God's sovereignty, our faith in God's love. Like I said, he hears us, he loves us, he is for us. And may the words of Jesus in Luke 18, where he says, you know, pray always and do not become discouraged, may those words be a reminder to us this year to let our prayers echo throughout the year. That we don't just have this be a thing that happened for a few weeks, but this is something that becomes a part of our everyday life all year long. Now, to close out today, I wanted to encourage you and challenge you with setting up something for the new year. And I'm calling them specific prayer petitions because I told you my prayer that we would be persistent, but also that we would be specific. And so as we enter into this year, my challenge and my encouragement to you is that you would set up prayers today that you pray all year long, specific prayers in all of your relationships and all of your endeavors and everything that you have going on. In Mark Batterson's book, Draw the Circle, he says this. He says, prayer is the way that we write the future. And I love what that elicits within my soul, like that, or that brings out within my soul, just the fact that, like, when I pray it to God, when I release it to God, like, I am speaking that out, and I am claiming that, and I am hoping in that. Again, we want to make sure that our prayers line up with God's word, right? We don't just pray, well, I'm going to pray for $1 million, and it's going to get, no. when we pray, and I've talked about this all throughout the series, we're aligning with God's word, we're aligning with God's will, we're aligning with God's glory. But when we pray those things out, whether it's over our relationship, over our children, over our job, over our finances, we're praying those things into being, and we're claiming those things. And we don't know how they're going to unfold, but we're praying that God's hand would be over it. Philippians 4:6 says this, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, what? Let your request be made known to God." And that's, what is that? That's an invitation to go to God every single day with our request, to petition God every single day with the desires of our heart, to go to him and just cry out to him day and night. And we don't worry about what's going to happen because we're giving it to God in prayer and knowing that he has control of all things, right? It's surrender and submission to his will for his glory. So let me move into specific prayer petitions. Now, I want to give you kind of just some examples and guidelines of what this would look like. Again, my encouragement to you is that you would today, and I'm going to give you some time at the end of service when we go to our time of prayer to like begin praying about and writing out specific prayers in your life. So I kind of just want to get the gears turning. So I'm going to look at two major areas and break those down. The first one is relationships, specific prayers as it pertains to our relationship, and where we should start, where we should all start and start every day is, where's our relationship with God? And so maybe this year, your prayer is that you want to grow in your relationship with God. Well, get specific. Don't just say, I want to grow. How are you going to grow? What steps are you going to take? What are you going to put into place? Do you want to pray more? Then begin to pray about what that looks like, where you're going to pray, how you're going to pray, what time you're going to set aside. Do you want to pray more in private, just in your own time, in your own solitude, in your own place? Or is it that you're wanting to grow in your faith by praying out loud or sharing your prayers with others? Like, we got to get specific. If we want to grow in our prayer life, get specific about how we're going to grow in our prayer life and continue to pray that every single day so that we do grow in our prayer life. Or maybe it's that you want to grow in your relationship with God by diving into his word more. Again, get specific. Don't say, God, I want to know your word more this year. And kind of just, no. How are you going to do that? Are you going to get into a plan? Are you going to set up times of reading? Are you going to get someone else to hold you accountable and read with you? Are you going to, maybe? And I'm getting ahead of myself by talking about groups, but could you get into a group with someone else and get into his word that way? Are you looking to study it? Are you looking for context? Are you looking to memorize? Get specific about where you want to grow in that area of growing your relationship with God. And then I, you know, talk about maybe you want to grow in through groups by getting in a group with here at in our church family, and it's joining one of our groups, and those will be starting at the end of the month. And so that's one way in which you could grow, because you could begin to learn from other men and other women about what God is doing in their life, and they can hold you accountable. And again, it's iron sharpening iron, and you learn and you grow there. Maybe it's serving and just, you know, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Maybe it's here at church and kids ministry and the worship team and the cafe and wherever. It's just you're going to serve for the first time, and through that, you'll grow closer to God because you're doing what Jesus did, because he came to serve, and he served us. And so pray about how you can specifically do that. Or maybe it's God's calling you to a specific mission that he wants for you, that he's uniquely designed for you to do. And maybe you've known it for some time, but you've been just worried about pulling the trigger on that. And step into whatever that specific calling is. Just as you think about growing with God, these are some pretty specific prayers that you want to get into. The first one comes to mind is our giving. But that's one of the things where all that we have, all that we are blessed with, is from him. And that means all of it is his. And throughout Scripture, he tells us to give back to him, just as an offering, as a praise to what he's done. And maybe that's something that you've been missing, where you haven't been obedient in giving or been obedient in the tithe. You haven't been obedient with your finances. They're all his, but you've been hoarding them and holding on to them because you're afraid of what might happen if you don't have it. And maybe today God's calling you and saying, it's time to let go. Here's one of the things that I realized early on in my Christian life. The moment that I made the decision to be obedient in the tithe, I've experienced blessing ever since. Right? And it's worrisome and it's hard to do, but when you set it up so that God gets what God's supposed to get, and you live off the rest, you will see blessing, I guarantee it. In God's word, more than that, my guarantees, but God's word guarantees it. And it's something that I've experienced in my life. So there's some specific ways in which you can grow in your relationship with God. But then we have other relationships in our life. And so I'll go down to the next most important one. It'll be your spouse. If you're married, it would be your spouse. But I'll also kind of come in and just say, if you have a significant other, this is something that you could work on as well. And the first thing, as you begin to think about specific prayers, I guarantee you communication is going to be one that you probably need to work on. Because I don't care how long you've been married. I don't care how long you've been doing this or how good you're at communication. Somewhere along the lines, communication has failed. And so maybe there's a specific prayer about communication, about how you communicate, about the words that you say, about, you know, just when you share and when you open up. Just pray about that there'd be open communication between you and your spouse. There wouldn't be pride. There wouldn't be things that keep you back from sharing what's on your heart or the feelings that you felt when something happened. Communicate and pray for that communication to happen. Along with that, when it comes to our relationships with our spouse, is compromise. And I think, I've been doing ministry a lot of a very, very long time, and I've talked through, married couples, and they've dealt with a lot, and compromise is one of the ones that always shows up. Neither party is willing to budge. They're both stuck in how they want to do things or how they were raised or whatever, and they're not willing to compromise one way or the other. And if that's you, and you know that's you, that's maybe a prayer that you need to begin to pray, that you would begin to be someone who would be willing to compromise, that you would set your pride aside and compromise for the person that you love. The other thing would be a spiritual connection between you and your spouse. Oh, and this is so important. And what I'll say right now is if between you and your spouse, if you're married and you don't talk about things of God and you don't pray together and you don't talk about scripture together and you're not doing that, man, that'd be the first thing I'd tell you to pray about. God, that me and my spouse will begin to pray together, to share about scripture together and begin to grow together. But I think the spiritual connection is so key because what needs to happen is that you need to be on a trajectory towards God, and you need to be praying that they're also on a trajectory towards God, and you are helping each other do that, and you're encouraging each other to grow towards God. I just did a wedding this past Friday from someone in our congregation. It was beautiful, but that was one of the things I talk about, how this, as we grow closer to God, if we're working on a relationship with God individually, guess what happens? We grow closer together, and it's so important, and so maybe that's your specific prayer. Maybe in your marriage, it's just a prayer that says, I need to prioritize my spouse. Prioritize my spouse over my job. Prioritize my spouse over my kids. Prioritize my spouse over my hobbies, over football, over TV, over movies, over friends. It's just a prayer that says, I'm going to make them a priority in my life again. And how can you do that? So priority. And so that's a big one. So that's how, those are some specific prayer examples for your spouse. And then I think if you have kids, there's specific prayers about your kids. I know this is a big one for me and a lot of prayers for me as well. I got 8 kids and there's a lot of specific prayers for each individual one. And I the first thing that came to mind when I thought about prayers for our children is time. Time with our children. And are you protecting that? Do you have that? Are you spending time with them? Like, can you begin to just pray about getting more time with them? And maybe that may mean sacrificing some other things that aren't as important. Listen, time is the one thing we don't get back. You can't get more of it. You won't get these moments back with your children. The phone, the football, the friend, they'll be there. But time with your children, it comes and it goes. And so that'd be something to pray about. There's time. And then as other things, it's understanding. That I would say pray specifically that God would give you an understanding about each child that you have in your care, because each one of them is different. The things that they go through, the feelings that they have, it's all different. And I would say with understanding comes empathy and sympathy for, you know, just the world that they're living in and the things that are thrown in their face all the time. And so just understanding there. I think one of the main things here, especially for us parents who might be a little bit older, is we think about our parents and their generation and culture then, and we think, well, this is how it was done for me. And this, it's not going to work that way anymore. The world's much different. And so don't just go and say, well, this is how it's supposed to be and this is how it has to be, and don't hear your kids out. Man, pray specifically to hear them, to listen to them, to understand them, to empathize with them, to come alongside them. Don't just shut them down. These are just some specific prayers I'm throwing out there. Then it'd be, you know, just prayers of you discipling. What prayers can you begin to pray so that you can disciple your children? leading them in the word and praying and worshiping with them at church, getting them to move, whatever it may be. Get specific prayers about discipleship. I think there are prayers here. This is a big one, especially in today's, is identity. Just prayers about their identity and really that they would find their identity in Christ and not in the world. Because the world has so many backwards things that they want to put into their minds. And so how are you praying that you can come alongside them to help them find their identity in Christ? Examples about our kids. And then this goes into our other relationships as well, but I got to move on to well-being. So that's the second topic here for our specific prayers is our well-being. And of course, we're all concerned about this, and we all know that there are certain things within our life that we need to work on, but what can you pray specifically? Now, within well-being, there are going to be four headings that I just want to give you. Again, just these are just examples to get the ball rolling. But health, of course, health comes up. And so as you think about your health, maybe last year and things that have changed and just what's going on, like what can you begin to do? What can you begin to pray about your health that you could change and work on it and have some other people come alongside you and work on it? And then there's wealth. And this isn't just about saying, God, give me more money, right? That's what we all want to do. But I think it's more, God, may I be a better steward of what you've already given me. May I look at the things that you've given me and how I'm spending your money and really am I using it for your glory and for your good. And so it's a budget and it's a stewardship and it's praying about that. Of course we want to pray for providence and blessing. Yes, do that. But as God blesses us and provides for us, he also expects us to be a good steward of what he's given us. And so maybe there's a specific prayer there about your wealth. Then there's purpose. Purpose. Man, just who God created us to be and what he has for us. And let me just be honest, like our purpose is more than our work. And maybe your work is awesome and you love your job and it is so purposeful, but that's great, but there's so much more, right? And so as you just pray about that, God, what purpose do you have for me this year? Maybe it's at work. What do you need me to do at work? Who do you need me to witness to? Who is someone that I can come alongside? We just pray about what we're doing. And then maybe it's just, maybe you just never really have prayed about a vision for your life. And you've gone through the motions and you went through school and you got the degree and you went into that line of work and here you are. But what is your vision? And I'm not talking about a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. Like, what is the vision for you specifically tomorrow and next week and by the end of the year? What do you want to see God do through you? How do you want to just have an impact on your spouse and your children and on friends and on coworkers? What is the vision for your life? Specifically pray about that, that you would have that purpose in your life. And finally, there's rest. And this one's so important. And it kind of ties into health, doesn't it? But we live in such a busy, distracted, hurried world. So many things vying for our time and for our attention. These don't help. Constant notification, constant dings. I tell people all the time, turn all your notifications off and you'll thank me for it later. And you can buy me a coffee when it helps you out, okay? But, I mean, rest is a big one. I was listening to a book, and I just finished it up, and in the book, he shared a statistic, and I don't remember what it was, but man, the majority of Christ followers do not even recognize the Sabbath. And God set that up. What did he do? 6 days he created. And on the seventh day there was rest. And he modeled that for us. Rest is so important. And so maybe rest for you is just saying, I'm gonna start taking a day where it's just rest. And that rest is not housework. It's not, you know, running errands. Just a day to be. Maybe you're like, I don't have a day. Oh man, start with 6 hours. Start anywhere. And pray that specifically. God, these 3 hours of this day, I'm gonna start there. Rest. It's so important to our souls. You know, in God's word, you know what he tells us? He says to be still. You know what we're really hard at? Being still. He says, be still and know that I'm God. That's why that day of rest is so important. It's not a day to just veg out. It's a day to be still and to, I don't know, just bask in his glory and his goodness and who he is and his character and his love. And look at the world around you and look at all that he's given you, relationships, children, whatever. Just go to him. Say, God, thank you. Today I get to rest. Maybe your rest. Oh, maybe your specific prayer of rest is that you shut your phone off for a day. I tell you what, if that's a commitment that or a challenge that you're willing to take, I guarantee you, the day that you do that, you will feel a weight and a burden lifted from you because this will no longer control your time. And it'll be powerful. And that's just a simple thing. Maybe that's your specific prayer. Again, these are just examples. But this is what my encouragement is that you would begin to set up these specific prayers, these specific prayer petitions. And I want to be very clear, these aren't New Year's resolutions. That's not what I'm giving you. I'm giving you year-long prayer petitions. And things that we set up today that we pray tomorrow, we pray next month, we pray 6 months from now, we pray in December, and it may even fold over into the next year, into the next year, but we keep praying them. And then we set up more. Because what did Jesus say to us? Pray always and don't be discouraged. Now, as we enter into our time of prayer that we've done every week of our Echo series, here's what I want to encourage you to do. This will be a time for you, man, to begin to set up these specific prayers. And actually, in Mark Batterson's book, In Draw the Circle, he says to pray about what to pray about. And I love that. Just maybe right now, like this is your time. Okay, this is a lot of information and there's a lot of things and I got to process a lot. And so I'm just going to go to God and God help me right now. God, I'm going to pray about what I'm going to pray about and the specific prayers that I'm going to have. And that may be it. And so I would encourage you to do that. And when we pray about what to pray about, guess what that does? It aligns our prayers with God's will. Because one of the 50% of prayer is listening, right? And oftentimes we're just talking a lot. And so when we pray, we give it to him and we wait and we listen to what the Spirit wants to reveal to us or his word wants to reveal to us. And so that's what I want to encourage us to do. I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, here's what I would say. In your chair, come up front. You want to come pray with someone and share the specific prayers that you have. You could do that as well. You can pull out the notes card. You can pull out a prayer praise card. You can pull out the Echo prayer app if you want. But just begin to pray about what to pray about. Begin to write down or jot down or type down some specific prayers that have come to mind and lock those things in and begin to claim those things starting today. And then keep it going tomorrow and the next day. Let's pray. God, I thank you for just speaking and moving. And I thank you that I can come to you whenever I want. It is quite a humbling thing to know that I get to have a conversation with the maker of the universe. But more than that, you want to have a conversation with me. And so I'm thankful. God, this is a new year. And I don't know about everyone else, but I'm thankful for the breath I breathe right now. I'm thankful for another day on this planet to be your vessel. I want to be a good steward of the time you've given me, of the relationships you've given me, of the finances you've given me, of the purposes you've given me. God, I know in order to do that, I got to keep coming to you with my prayers. I'm praying for wisdom and clarity and discernment and strength and guidance and going to your word. And so right now I pray. I pray for our church family. I pray that in this moment we would come to you with our prayers, with the desires of our heart, the things that you have already placed on our heart and mind to do and to how to move and how to go through this year, prayers for our relationship with our spouse, for our job, for any transitions, whatever it may be, God, I just pray that your Spirit would work and move and speak and give us these prayers that we could pray all year long. God, right now, though, really important, today I would pray against any sin that's in our hearts that we're holding on to. But I know from your word, sin separates us from you and from hearing you clearly. So I pray today if someone has unrepentant sin in their heart that they would come to you and ask for forgiveness so that they can hear you clearly. God, speak in this moment. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.